They began to sort their clothes for packing, for there was no time to lose if they were to catch the train to Rome. Lucy, when admonished, began to move to and fro between the rooms, more conscious of the discomforts of packing by candlelight than of a subtler ill. Charlotte, who was practical without ability, knelt by the side of an empty trunk, vainly endeavouring to pave it with books of varying thickness and size. She gave two or three sighs, for the stooping posture hurt her back. The girl heard her as she entered the room, and was seized with one of those emotional impulses to which she could never attribute a cause. She knelt down by her cousin's side, and took her in her arms. Miss Bartlett returned the embrace with tenderness and warmth. But she was not a stupid woman, and she knew perfectly well that Lucy did not love her, but needed her to love. For it was in ominous tones that she said, after a long pause, "Dearest Lucy, how will you ever forgive me?" Lucy was on her guard at once, knowing by bitter experience what forgiving Miss Bartlett meant. She modified her embrace a little, and she said, "Charlotte, dear, as if I have anything to forgive. I know well how much I vex you at every turn." "But no," Miss Bartlett assumed her favourite role, that of the prematurely aged martyr. "Ah, but yes, I feel that our tour together is hardly the success I had hoped. You want someone younger and stronger and more in sympathy with you. I am only fit to pack and unpack your things." "Please, Charlotte, my only consolation was that you found people more to your taste and were often able to leave me at home." "You mustn't say these things," said Lucy softly. She still clung to the hope that she and Charlotte loved each other, heart and soul. "I have been a failure," said Miss Bartlett, as she struggled with the straps of Lucy's trunk instead of strapping her own. "Failed to make you happy, failed in my duty to your mother. She has been so generous to me. I shall never face her again after this disaster." "But Mother will understand. It is not your fault, this trouble, and it isn't a disaster either." "She will never forgive me, and rightly. For instance, what right had I to make friends with Miss Lavish?"
"Every right."
"When I was here for your sake? If I have vexed you, it is equally true that I have neglected you. Your mother will see this as clearly as I do when you tell her."
Lucy, from a cowardly wish to improve the situation, said, "Why need Mother hear of it?"
"But you tell her everything."
"I suppose I do generally."
"I dare not break your confidence, unless you feel that it is a thing you could not tell her."
The girl would not be degraded to this.
"Naturally, I should have told her. But in case she should blame you in any way, I promise I will never speak of it either to her or to anyone."
Her promise brought the long-drawn interview to a sudden close. Miss Bartlett pecked her smartly on both cheeks, wished her good night, and sent her to her own room. Diplomatic advantage had been taken of her sincerity, of her craving for sympathy and love. Never again did she expose herself without due consideration and precaution against rebuff.